Here we go. It's federal budget day. Prime Minister warning us that today tough choices will be made because of American tariffs and expect deep cuts in today's so-called austerity budget. He's been using that word sacrifice a lot the last few days here. And our Premier Scott Moe, he's forecasting a deficit as well.
So I would say you're going to see the Canadian economy really starting to sputter.
He's pointing to tariffs and trade instability being the problem to that, too. And economists suggest the deficit may hit $75 billion or more. Joining me now is CJME Provincial News Director Sarah Mills. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning.
What do you do on budget day? Do you wear your best dress, new shoes? What's going on? Anything special today from you?
Yeah, it's like everyone felt on Saturday night with Game 7. It's just for news nerds like me. It comes in the form of budget.
Well, let's first start the politics of this budget. How are they played out here in Saskatchewan, do you feel?
I think given how we voted as a province, I think you're going to have a lot of criticism going towards the Prime Minister. It's a crucial budget. It's the first one under Mark Carney. And let's, on the politics side, look at what voters were sold about Mark Carney, former Bank of England governor, former Bank of Canada governor, a man who knows everything about economy and finance. This is the man to lead us through the threat of tariffs and the impact of tariffs that we continue to see, not just from the US, but China now and India. And so that's a big promise, right, Greg? That's a lot to live up to. He was placed on a financial pedestal, and he might fall pretty hard today. And I think that's how a lot of people in Saskatchewan are looking at this. Are you going to fix the problems we have? And they are mighty. You have the issue of affordability and jobs and housing that Canadians are facing, and then the decisions you have to make to strengthen an economy that many say is on the cusp of a recession. So, you know, again, he was put, not by us, by the way the Liberals sold Mark Carney, on this financial pedestal. And yeah, it could come crashing down today.
Well, we're hearing words like sacrifice, then unprecedented investment. There's a couple words we've been hearing a lot within the last few days. Sounds like a weird push-pull situation where you have to invest but have less money to do it with. Do you think that's the kind of conundrum that they're facing?
Yeah, right. I think you've hit the nail on the head. It really is between a rock and a hard place for the finance minister, for the prime minister, because you have to help stimulate the economy. We're hearing this talk of we're going to be investing, we're going to have the nation building projects, we'll have pipelines, we're going to have housing. And, you know, that speaks a lot to pipelines. For sure is something that our premier and others in the West want to see. For the larger centres like Vancouver, Toronto, there's a real housing crunch. I mean, you can argue there is for renters here in our province. Rents won't go down until there's an influx of rental property. So housing is just as important here. You have to invest to make that happen. But at the same time, are you just going to keep spending more than you're taking in, or do you start making tough choices? And that's where you get this word like sacrifice. But even the prime minister said, well, you know, in the baseball analogy, I'm only talking minor league baseball. Well, how much sacrifice are you going to make, or do we just keep getting into a hole that Canada can't dig itself out from?
Well then, CJME Provincial News Director Sarah Mills, I have one question to ask you now, and that is just simply, how will our listeners be informed today of what's to come?
Oh, best question ever. We will be all over this. It's around 3 o'clock our time that the budget comes down. So we'll start providing listeners with all the information they need to know about how it affects them, whether it's taxes, healthcare, their businesses, their families. We'll also, on the quarter hours, you'll be able to hear further details. So every 15 minutes, Greg, we will have all the details for our listeners and readers as well at cjme.com.
Excellent. Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks, Greg.
Sarah Mills from CJME's newsroom. Other than a fall economic statement last December that was buried really by the resignation of Chrystia Freeland, this budget has been a long time coming. So a lot of ears will be listening.
Look at them yo-yos. That's the way you do it. You play the guitar on the MTV. That ain't working. That's the way you do it. Money for nothing and you cheat.
Joining me now, Kevin Martell from the 980 CJME Newsroom. It's Federal Budget Day, and you hear this line of a generational investment. Kevin, heard Sarah Mills take a few moments ago. What's yours?
Yeah, I got to believe that with those words, it probably means a lot of big spending, but it also probably means a big deficit.
I can't disagree with you. That's kind of what it feels like they're trying to warn us.
But I find that other parties are going to support it because of the fact that they don't want an election around Christmas time. I just feel like some of the other parties maybe they're not where they want to be.
Yeah.
And when I say that, you think of the NDP, right? They have an interim leader right now. They haven't picked a new leader. Probably don't want to go to an election. So I could see a party like the NDP supporting it, being critical of the budget, but reluctantly supporting it because they don't obviously want to head to the polls.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that too. I just can't see how any of them really want to make us go through another election here 6 months later before Christmas here. Some of the other headlines here this morning, this gentleman who will be back in front of a judge today following his arrest in connection to the shooting death of Tanya Myers from Weber and Chris Fallman. We've learned a little more today.
Yeah, so we are, I guess, learning that he was a home inspector. He worked as a home inspector in this province because the Saskatchewan Realtors Association just put out some information saying that his membership has been terminated in the association because of these criminal charges. And so, for example, when you think about that, what as a home inspector, well, I guess he may have had access to the lockbox system. And so that's been cut off now with his termination from the association. In addition to that, we're also learning that he actually made a post on Facebook to the commenting on the RCMP news release, the initial news release, to say that this woman, Tanya Myers, had been shot and killed near Weyburn. He had actually commented and called it absolutely disgusting. Hmm. And then he is the one who was charged in her death.
Now, RCMP, now you're revealing a heck of a lot more, though, about the investigation, right? Like, we don't know what kind of gun was used or where the shots even came from, do we?
Yeah, and this is usually kind of the case with RCMP. They're not, when they have these types of media events to answer questions, it's not like they can usually release a whole bunch of information. They usually say the investigation, it's they don't want to give anything away as the process. I mean, we're now before the courts. So they don't want anything to do to release anything that would potentially jeopardize the case in front of the court. So a lot of times, not a whole lot of extra information. And that was the case yesterday.
All right, Kevin Martell, follow up to yesterday's tricks being played on treats from Halloween. Yet another report of tampered candy from Halloween.
Yeah, first the Greens neighborhood in the southeast part of the city. And now completely opposite end of the city in the northwest, Fairways West neighborhood, and a similar report, another parent talking about a thin piece of metal hidden inside a chocolate bar. So that's the second report now.
Wow. And Dick Cheney has passed, we're hearing now.
Yeah. That information coming in this morning, according to his family, he died yesterday, former vice president under George W. Bush. And remember, too, he actually served under George H. W. Bush, defense chief. And so, obviously, he worked closely with the Bush family, died at the age of 84, and his family says complications of pneumonia and cardiac and vascular disease.
Thank you, Kevin. Kevin Martell from the 980 CJME Newsroom. CJME News time now is 6:57. Yeah, the Riders getting ready for the West Final this Saturday against the BC Lions. They're selling family packs, two adults, two kids for $99 plus tax. I noticed the $20 co-op community zone tickets may still be available too. And if you have a co-op number, you can walk into a co-op near you and check them out at the customer service. So lots of opportunities to save and not yet a sellout by no means. Looking at Ticketmaster, a fair amount of blue dots. I'd say a few thousand left. Hopefully it will be by the time kickoff, Saturday at 5:30. I encourage you to dress warm, just as I will hope that Our very own CJME writer, reporter Britton Gray, dresses all snug as a bug too to cover the game, who joins me now. We're looking like it's going to be cloudy and -3, Britton.
Yeah, exactly. I think the Riders want it to be a little bit colder, right? You know, that BC Lions team, they're used to being in a dome, right? I think they want the elements to be able to help take the ball away from Nathan Rourke a little bit and make sure he can't just sit back there and throw in perfect conditions.
Well, after you watch them win the semifinal out west and how they've matched up against us during the regular season, strip it down for us here. Let's see. How does this matchup look to you?
The Riders have matched up very well against the Lions all season long. Yes, the Riders lost that last game, of course, but of course they were sitting starters, rotating guys in. The Lions with Nathan Rourke, we know how dynamic he can be. So that's why it's going to be important to make sure he can't just sit back there and throw the ball against this Corey Mace zone defense. Get some pressure on them. I think the Riders can do that. They showed they could do it last time out. And turn this game into a running game. You know, let AJ Ouellette go out there and really run the ball, especially if it gets a little bit colder, if that temperature continues to drop, and really take control of the game. Keep the ball away from that Lions offense, because, boy, that Lions defense, still a lot of question marks when you look at how they played against Calgary as well.
Certainly is. Britton Gray is here. How are you looking at the next few days of practice here, and what are you watching for? Because clearly, given that we've got a lot of healthy players going again here, the coach has a lot of decisions to make as to who goes in and who goes where. So what are you watching for?
Yeah, main thing is who's back out there, right? Is Keyshawn Johnson out there, Dante Myers, Roland Milligan? How do they kind of fit in? And then once they're back, how do they decide to roll out this lineup, right? CJ Revis, I thought he's been really good at safety. Antoine Brooks, really good at linebacker. Do they keep that? How's the offensive line look? That's what I'm really looking for. One of the main advantages of having that bye week, having that extra week of preparation, is to be able to get some guys healthier. That's really what the first few days are going to be. Who's out there? And let's see how they decide to line up.
Well, Coach Mace was on the Green Zone late last Friday, and you heard when the one question was asked about who's kicking in this one. Do you think he was kind of coy about that, or do you think there really is a decision to be made?
I think there is, with how inconsistent Brett Lauther has been, plus he has been dealing with the back injury. Michael Hughes goes out and is perfect and looks pretty confident in doing it. I think you have to put out your best lineup, especially come playoffs. So I do think there's a bit of an open competition there this week as to who will see lineup to kick in the West Final.
Okay, so practice today and again tomorrow, or is tomorrow a closed practice?
I believe day three will be closed, so tomorrow will be open as well, as we kind of get a look at that. Then they do all the secret stuff on that closed practice day three.
Okay. Well, thanks for the update, Britton. I appreciate it.
Not a problem.
CJME Rider reporter Britton Gray. I noticed the Riders using social media to pump you up, and they have quarterback Trevor Harris there pitching the game. Why? He thinks they got to take advantage of this moment.
It kind of means everything at this point, you know, because there's no guarantee that you make it through a season healthy. There's no guarantee that you put yourself in a position to be in the West Final, to win one game, to go to the show. That doesn't happen very often. You know, it's a very select few people that get to do that. And the fact that we're able to do that again this year goes to show the greatness and the level that this organization's at right now. So we've got to capitalize, because like I said last year, you don't know how many of these you get. For us to not take advantage of it would be a shame.
And as he always does at this time, Evan Bray popping by to preview what's coming up on the show. Good morning, Evan.
How's it going today, buddy?
It's well. It's going well. It's federal budget day, and, you know, I've been listening. You hear, you know, austerity budget. You hear about investment. You hear about a possible election. It seems all kind of crazy. Let's first start with how you're feeling about this budget.
Well, I mean, I think you've just hit the nail on the head. There's so many storylines to follow here. So this is the first budget from this Mark Carney government. We know it's a little bit offbeat from what it normally would be. It's happening in the fall. These happen normally in the spring. But given the fact we had the election, that's why it's been bumped off. This is going to show us a couple of things. It's budgets are always, of course, the great indicator of what the priorities are for this government. If it's given money in budget, then it's obviously a priority and it's something we're going to see them focus on. So, you know, there's the outward looking thing. So what are we going to be doing to deal with tariffs? We already know that there's been some adjustment to, insurance, income insurance to help people who maybe are victims of the trade war. People are losing their jobs. We know that that's going to be contained in there as well. Defense spending is huge. We've committed to this 5% NATO target over the next few years. So there will be billions of dollars focused on that and infrastructure, these nation building projects. Now, what Prime Minister Carney has done is he has really split the budget into two parts. One of them being operational spending. That's the money we spend on programs and the money we spend on employees. That's where he's talking about you will see some significant cuts. We've got tough decisions to make. So a lot of people are focused on and watching, okay, what's he going to do there? On the other side of the ledger, though, you've got the capital spending. This is what he's considering. He's calling it investment. Basically, he's bracing us that they're going to be spending a lot of money on this side of the budget. So, and you said it yourself, is this going to get approved? Will this trigger an election? Will there be a confidence vote over this budget? There's so much to talk about, and we've got Vashi Kapelos right off the start of the show, so it's a good way to start into this today for
yeah,
sure.
And with, you know, everyone here is pretty well aware that given what's going on here with tariff and trade with Trump and all of that, we have to diversify. And so when you hear about investment, I cannot see this budget doing anything but putting us more in debt, because so much has to be done across the country.
Well, and again, the Prime Minister is saying, you know, we shouldn't be losing sleep over the fact that, yes, we've got to spend some big money, but that money is an investment in the future. That's the way the federal government is, I don't want to say spinning it, because that's the focus on it. But there's a lot of people that are saying, how long is it going to take to yield that investment? And what's the pain? I don't even want to say short-term pain, because Greg, this could be a generational transition, which is it's going to be something that, you know, will be unraveling in the days ahead after we hear what this budget presents.
And I know you're going to be asking your listeners whether or not they're hopeful or dreading this federal budget, so let me be first to ask you, are you hopeful or are you dreading it?
I'm dreading it. I'm not hopeful at all. I because I worry about the debt, Greg. You know, the debt to me is something that at some point we're hearing, you know, the parliamentary budget officer saying this is not sustainable and using words that are doom and gloom when it comes to the budget. And so I think, you know, the need for us to be able to be fiscally responsible, I just don't know that this government is going to be capable of doing that.
All right, you got Vashi coming up just out of the 8:30 news. Who else is joining?
Well, we've got Vashi. You're right. We're going to open phone lines at 9 o'clock like we normally do, and basically asking people, what do you hope to hear in this budget? Hope is the key word there. So we'll take calls and texts. Then I've got a couple more budget related guests. Ian Lee, who's a great guest. He's been with us many times. Carleton University Business Associate Professor. He's very opinionated. He's got lots of views on things. We're also bringing in Fred DeLory. Fred is a former manager of the Conservative. He was a national campaign manager for the Conservative Party of Canada, done work with Stephen Harper, done work with Doug Ford. We'll bring him in, so he'll take a bit of a different slant on this, obviously, what he expects to see and what the impact of this could be. Then we're getting into this talk about social mobility. So social mobility is the ability for one generation, the next generation, to achieve higher social status, better earning, better income than the previous generation. So will our kids do better than us? Lots of people are speculating, given the way housing prices are, given the way cost of living is, it's actually getting tougher for our future generations to have the success that we have. And that obviously is not good for the country. So we'll be talking with an expert on that, but taking calls on that as well.
All right, Evan, thank you. We'll see you back here at 8:30.
Good stuff. Thanks, Greg.